CliffCentral.com. Yes, we are live.
Testing.
What to? Good morning, everybody. It's just after six. CliffCentral.com. What a beautiful day. I love summer.
Oh, look at you.
You know what? I got shit done last night again. I sorted out a whole lot of slips and stuff for taxes.
Look out, ladies. You're about to be seduced.
I know. Look at how excited I get about bullshit like that. Isn't it amazing? Isn't that the best? Oh, it's the best. I tell you what. I love nothing more than getting stuff done. It's a disease, I'm telling you. All right, we have a special show for you this morning because we are joined by two stalwarts of the movement of
Stalwarts. I thought it was Stalwarts. Now it's stalwarts. Damn it.
That's the voice of Sivan Gessi. Nice to see you, my friend.
Yay.
Last time I saw this man, we were sitting in near Lincoln Center in New York City.
Talking about hairy vaginas.
Well, you will get into that in a minute because we're going to.
Is that still a thing?
There are some.
Don't do that, my friend. They can do anything they want. #.
Yeah.
No. I'm not preventing it. I'm not that kind of guy.
Speaking of which, I put a picture up on my Instagram this morning. They evacuated Amy Schumer from the fires in California. There's a nice picture of that.
She's terrible. What a terrible performer who's been getting away with murder for so many years because she was a woman.
And
because
she's ugly.
No.
I'll tell you why. Because in a world where Sarah Silverman exists, there is no excuse for Amy Schumer.
Wow. I'm just saying, if you listen to this and you're trying to cut the things that Sivan Gessi has said that are wrong, please don't involve me in this.
No. You get all your own controversy. And Siv has brought in his friend Alex Stone, who's an old friend of the show as well. How are you, Alex?
Really well, thanks. Thanks for having me. Good.
They call him Flash.
I'm sorry that Siv had to carry you and your wheelchair up the stairs again because we have the least wheelchair-friendly building in the whole world.
Yeah.
You guys are funny. You guys have a wheelchair parking bay and then there's a step.
Big one.
It's a tease.
Straight away.
Yeah. I've never thought of that.
Yeah, no, it's completely. Is this the worst building you've ever been into?
I'll make you feel better and say no.
No, but it is, right?
It's right up there.
Yeah, it's right up there. So Alex is a listener. He sometimes chimes in from the US and he's in South Africa visiting his friend Siv. The two of them got some projects on the go, which we'll find out about later. You good? You happy to be back?
Really happy, yeah.
Are you getting any action on Tinder?
I'm getting some swipes, we've been going back and forth between Cape Town and Johannesburg, so I haven't been able to...
Just as you get the swipes, then you can't see it through.
Yeah.
Please tell them your opening line on Tinder that many women don't understand. Your opening line, what is it about the seat?
Yeah, tell us.
What do you say?
Don't know what you're talking about.
What's your opening line on Tinder when you chat to the ladies? I love your opening line.
My opening line?
You tell us then.
Yes.
Show me your Tinder thingy.
Or your Tinder profile.
You usually say something. He has 14.
Oh, when I start conversations.
Yes.
Yeah. I ask if they have a thing for seated dudes. I thought you were talking about the actual profile.
I know. And then they usually go, oh, I don't judge.
Then you know. Then you're in. And you see, the problem not the problem. For you, it's a solution. For these girls, they might look at it and go, oh, shit, I didn't realize he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And then, but they're in already. And if they back out then, you're going to say, well, that's prejudice.
Well, then they just unmatch and then never see them again.
No, but you can guilt them into. Can't you guilt them into that? Can't you say to them, I'm just a poor guy in a wheelchair?
I can sure try.
You could try. Hey, if it gets you some action, why not, right, dude?
Yeah.
You know, anything that works for you will work for you. That's the bottom line.
So I was really impressed. I sat down with Siv. He's got all kinds of incredible shit going down. I was actually really impressed because people go to New York with these dreams and, you know, I think they're going to make it. Everybody thinks they're going to be the next Trevor Noah. And you've been working hard. Mm. You've been working on your acting. You've been doing stand-up. You've been doing a lot of stuff. No, and you were there for, 8 weeks when I saw you?
Eight weeks.
So what's... let everybody know, because we talked about it. I didn't really... I didn't share it with very many people. So you tell us the whole story.
I think in South Africa it's quite easy to get complacent. You get into a place and you're like, I got this. A lot of actors are doing acting work and they just
You have a great career here. You still do, and you're on television. You've got a lot of advertising interests. So the people book you for their campaigns.
It's like the third time you've been on our show.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I was on the first show.
You were.
It was your family, and then it was me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, Siv, to put that on hold and take a chance on the US is a very brave move, because you could earn some serious cash here, and you can keep doing that for who knows how long. I mean, people in this country supposedly, if you keep your wits about you and you do interesting work, you stay in shape and you kind of make sure that you're interesting to talk to, then people will use you and they'll keep on booking you for this stuff. Why would you drop out of that comfort zone? There are a lot of very, very good people who eke out a terribly average existence, but then there are people who make very good money. Why would you stop?
I think I try to treat my career as much as I treat sport. I think sport, I've always played. I've played high level sport in the sense of I played as water polo, and you have to continuously get better and push on and do more work. So sportsmen don't get into the A team and then just stop working.
Also, very few blacks in water polo. You should have stuck to that.
Very few. But you don't stop. You don't stop working out. So you just keep on going. And a lot of Americans you meet, I was in a class with some people who were series regulars on TV shows,
right?
And they were still working out and still doing acting classes every single night. Mm. So,
well, you told me about these classes you went to where you had to cry and you had to reveal some deep personal secret, and then you had to kiss a girl, and you had to kiss a dude, then you had to be touched by other people. This is the way acting, you know, it's at incredible. That level. Tell me what that is.
It was I think a lot of things for me. The what I learned the most is that for me my fallback action is confidence, and sometimes the action should be vulnerability, right? So the class was actually about the power and vulnerability, and because you know what I discovered is that for me when I'm in doubt I become more confident. And then when actually a lot of times...
But so it's like a defense mechanism.
Yeah. So confidence is my defense mechanism. Some people go, they go backwards and they become doubtful and they become naturally vulnerable. Uh-huh. So for me, I spent six weeks of the course just working on my vulnerability and the strength.
And you have to learn to let go.
Yes. Yeah. And
that's a massive thing for a South African man. I mean, whether you're acting or otherwise. Yeah. Vulnerability seems like the biggest weakness.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And we're always told we can't be like that.
Mm. See, Alex, you were raised in America, and in America, you're encouraged to actually come to terms with your feelings and like talk about those things. And you guys take that for granted. In this country, we have this idea of masculinity, which is actually sometimes kind of dangerous. Makes a lot of guys into douchebags. That's why we have problems with abuse of women in this country. It's why so many guys can't relate to other guys properly without it being a competitive and aggressive thing. Mm. We've got big issues here. Do you recognize that when you come here?
There are a lot of douchebags in America, too. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course. But what I'm saying is that there seems to be a much more healthy attitude to masculinity, to kids, to that kind
of thing. I'll grant you that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
Talking about masculinity, I told you about I played for a gay rugby team.
You mentioned this. Now, is that the one here in Johannesburg who wear the pink?
There's one. No. I played for one. I don't know if you know the guy from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. There's a guy on that show who's actually in a relationship with a South African guy called Vilko.
Oh, this is the revamp, the new edition of the show. Yes.
So he's South African, played rugby with me for 2 years, never knew he was gay.
Oh, okay.
Just wasn't comfortable in coming out. Letting people know in the rugby industry. So,
right.
The whole thing you're talking about masculinity.
So, is this a rugby team in America or here?
America.
Oh, really?
So, I played there. I played for the team.
See, this is what I also love about the States, and I'm certainly not comparing apples and apples here. When I say, I'm here in South Africa. This is where I live. This is where I'm from. But I love that there are enough people for there to be a gay rugby team and for it to actually field a team.
We had about 50 odd people, like 50 odd, 60 people altogether.
Yeah.
For 16 years, they've played in this league.
Shit.
This year, they won after 16 years. We won the league.
Talk about the long-term goal.
Yeah, no, 16 years. And this, we played this year, and people would arrive and people would underestimate us. They'd be like, they'd be underestimating us to hell and back, and we would beat them sometimes by 50, all right,
but,
60
but explain
points.
How you
and
end
looked
up
damn good doing it.
And oh, yeah. And they looked fabulous.
Fabulous.
And yeah. It's not often I played rugby, score a try, and you go, yes, sister.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
All right, but explain to me, like, the idea of a gay rugby team. Yeah. It's still in this country, people look at it a little bit strangely. They have a problem with it in some places.
For me, I can be honest, you said now, playing rugby for a gay team in America, inclusive team, changed my whole outlook of masculinity. And it sounds like the weirdest thing ever. I played with men who were more masculine than I could ever be.
Yeah.
I was the feminine one. I was a musical lover. I was the actor. Yeah. I was the one telling the boys, you must watch, what's it called, that Lady Gaga. So yes. It was so, and then you meet them these
that
big,
is, that's very gay.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
When you meet welcome these, to the club.
Yeah. And I met the most, these brutal, huge men, and then get into their car and they're like, girl, so what is that saying, girl? So then my most incredible moment was one of them played high-level football and then moved to rugby, right?
American football. Okay.
And then
shucks.
And then in the car, I saw a baby seat. So I was like, he's like this big monster, big guy. And I said, Rocco.
Rocco.
His name is Rocco. Rocco. But like, I said to him, Rocco, so you have, how long have you been married to your wife? He was like, girl, I'm a faggot, girl. Clapping his hands. Girl, nah. Call me honey. Don't call me brother, girl.
So and has he adopted a kid?
No. Oh. He later found a surrogate.
Oh, okay. Whatever. All right,
and
okay.
And they have a child.
Yeah.
And then he's...
Modern family.
Yeah. And then he said, last thing about this, he said that the mother, the real mother's husband, told the kid who's 5... Your dad's a faggot, told the kid. And then he told the kid, he said, tell him that daddy is going to kick his ass and tell him that daddy said she going to kick his ass. So this is the mind.
Yeah, we're getting fast and loose with the gender pronouns.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I'm just saying, it's an unbelievable experience.
Wow. Well, I mean, listen, if you could find some place in the world where you not only can make yourself feel comfortable, but everybody else feel comfortable, why the hell not?
Those are great.
I don't understand why anyone would have a problem with any of that stuff. I really don't. In 2018,
if people have a fundamental problem with things that are different to them. They get threatened. Their small reptile brain starts to tremble a bit.
Mm.
And that's unfortunately what it comes down to.
People still have a problem with my complexion. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, look, you get shit from the whites, from the blacks, from the straight, from the gay, from the
far and the... I'm incredible. I don't blame them for disliking
me. No, sure. And I think that...
unbelievable.
I think that confidence is a good thing. So listen, the real reason that we brought Alex in, Ben, is to show you what you're going to look like when your spine cracks out again.
No, I don't know if you heard. He's in my place, basically. So I walked in this morning. Chair, yeah. There's Alex. And I just thought, well, that's like being replaced.
Yeah.
Well, that was rude of me. I didn't even know. I'm sorry.
Please don't worry. You're allowed to sit wherever you want.
You've already done so much. Just own it. Just carry on from here.
So what happened was, Alex, to bring you into the picture, on Monday, Ben rolled in here, and he could hardly move. He was like, he was totally twisted.
Mm.
My back had a stroke, essentially. Yep. It had a little tremor. And then it moved to the right, and then I fell to the ground.
And we all thought that what we would do is probably just bring him in here and just put him down today. But you know what?
Mm. We had all said our final goodbyes to Ben.
Well, yeah. I surrendered to the healing hands of Derek, as I told you I was going to. And after being lubed up and pounded for about 45 minutes.
Sia,
So Siv can tell a story and suddenly I get the eyes.
Yeah.
No, look, I've got this massage therapist called Derek and I'm very comfortable with my sexuality. I'll let a man professionally touch me. Sure.
Yeah. Just the way you said it.
Yeah. But he's got these...
What
he's
does
got
he do,
thing.
Ben? Does he actually smash and break you or does he twist?
He uses pressure points. He encapsulates a whole bunch of different sort of dark arts into one amazing massage program. And he's got this like thing, which I never see because my face is always in that hole.
Wow.
But, oh, Jesus.
But it feels... It's like a sanding machine, but he's put a tennis ball attachment onto this thing, so it gives you like a small woman's fist kind of
you have it
sensation.
All fisting
hole.
But the thing is, but like that really hits into your neck and into like your glutes and
your head.
Yeah, like really take up height. And, okay, so basically, I was a complete nuts mess. You said your entire body is like stressed and basically just.
Why is that, Ben? What's wrong?
I'm tweeting that rugby talk.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, everything that Siv said suddenly sounds totally, totally okay and heterosexual.
Well, that's the thing about the show. You never know what the next 5 minutes are going to do.
That's
but,
true.
But the thing is, I could not. When I walked into Derek's room where there's.
When you walked in like a crab.
Yeah, I walked in sideways. I walked in like there's a lot of wind about. And there's Derek with his ponytail wet, flagging in the wind.
He has a ponytail?
Yeah. He's like Steven Seagal of massage. I've told you this. And then you get onto the bed and there's your blankets on there. And you feel like you've come home. You know, you feel safe.
Oh,
you feel,
wow.
So did he say to you what he thinks the cause of this is? If you're all in spasm and basically a disaster, like, what is it? Are you going through shit in life? What's wrong?
I think everyone goes
through. I thought you were fairly balanced.
Yeah, I would say I am.
I'm not criticizing you. I'm curious.
No, I'm also curious.
You handle stress pretty well.
I do. I feel I do. It's just that it kind of obviously manifests into my lower back. And because I've got this giant head,
yeah.
And maybe my core isn't as strong as it could be, I think there's an imbalance around that. So as I can't make my head smaller, I've got to make my torso stronger.
You noticed he's got a huge head?
I didn't until he said it.
No, you've suddenly seen.
We take a photo together, you go, wow, that guy's head's way bigger than mine. No. So Gareth, back when I was strong, had muscles, I didn't have these kind of issues because I was all balanced. But now that I work so much more and sit in front of a fucking computer so much more.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Essentially what is my body's default position when it's weak is slightly crooked. So add a whole bunch of stress to that.
Is extra exercise going to help that?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm under.
So you basically have to put on some more muscle. You have to balance out your body.
Yeah.
You have to do a little more stretching, all of that kind of shit.
Got to get back into doing yoga and these things.
If you spend more time around Civ, you'd be fine.
The misconception is that I gym a lot. People still fall for that.
Don't you, though? Because for a while...
I haven't touched a weight for flipping 10 weeks.
Yeah, you don't have to. That's the whole thing. You don't have to do... weights, essentially. You have to sit there and throw things on the floor. There's various ways of exercising and staying active.
Yeah. What about, because people tell me that yoga is the best thing in the world for balance and for stretching.
It is, but can you quiet your mind for that long? I can't.
Nah.
See, like, I need a competitive something or other. I need to beat someone at something. Not because I'm aggressive or anything. It's just that's how I'm wired. So
you can beat them at stretching, yoga.
Who am I beating? If I go to yoga class, I'm not going to sit around housewives. So I've got to beat
what
myself.
What are you thinking when you hear people talking about yoga and shit, Alex?
I'm totally out of my element.
Yeah, because you're like, none of this shit is available to me.
But Ben, if you decide to give up, I have an extra wheelchair.
Oh, I was there this weekend. I was there this weekend.
That's probably the kindest thing I've heard.
Because like, at least I can get like big arms.
What a mensch.
My favorite cripple in the world.
Dude, are you got no motion below the?
No, I actually crawl around. I have
I've seen
palsy,
you crawling around. You've done it here. It's does it freak people out?
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
They go, oh my god, there's a human. They're moving around on the floor.
He thinks he can beat me at crawling. We're gonna do it today.
We're
gonna compete today. I'm gonna kick his ass at crawling.
We're gonna play the Rocky theme.
Oh, that's great. Please film this.
No, I'm gonna. Because I will kick his ass. Because online.
Sylvester versus Apollo Creed.
And then online, he won by 80%. 80% people said he would win. Prediction. I said, who was gonna win? They said 80% said Alex. But that's just. They feel sorry for him. I'm sorry. I'm gonna kick his ass.
So did we get to this point?
When we last caught up with you, you were here to launch a bunch of projects. And you came out here with Civ again, and you told us about some of the stuff you're involved with, but what's been happening since then? Give us an update.
So since I saw you last, I won an innovation competition and got some seed money, so this time I'm here to film a video to launch the project.
That's fantastic.
Cool. Yeah, it's well pretty done, exciting.
Dude. That's
thanks.
Very, very cool. I'm that's glad amazing. To hear it.
Thanks.
Did you get your seed money from here or from the U.S.?
From the U.S.
Yeah, of course, because no one here has any money.
Yes! See, bitch! Yeah, bitch!
Are you going to launch it here, though?
We've been chatting fundraising plans, and Siv assures me that there's no way that a South African will donate to American disabled
Why would
people.
They do that?
Because
we're poor.
Like, so I'll say it would be a tough sell.
No, but it's got the biggest income inequality in the world, so there's a lot of poor people, but there's got to be
You know which countries have the lowest income inequality in the world? Sudan and Somalia. Do you want to go there? You won't
delight.
Find any fundraising there either. That's a shitty metric to.
He's a smart.
No, I mean there's got to be some super rich here because there's a lot of poor.
Yeah,
people.
You know what super rich people do? They keep their money.
It's only me now.
And they get bottle service.
And billions 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 and billions.
You're a Trump voter, right?
It's been a while since I've heard that voice. It was a nice break. Thanks for ruining it.
Wow. What do you think of Siv's trip to America and his trying to dominate New York? I mean, he's largely getting it right.
Yeah, I think he'll do it eventually.
Because he's so goddamn tenacious, right?
Yeah.
But did it come across as clingy as now he's going to your country? I mean, yeah. you can come visit him here.
He's kind of in your territory now.
How's that clingy?
I told him to back off, so that's why
he... He told me to roll away. Listen here, guys. I thought I was hated online, but I posted a picture with Cliff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Once.
One picture.
Holy shit!
Oh, no. I'm like...
Thought I was hated. Like, online... People, I'm like sushi. They either hate me or love me or don't give a fuck about me.
Yes.
It says a lot about your followers. So
yes. This son of a bitch.
Yeah. I'm like nitroglycerin.
People were like, Siv, I had so much respect for you. All the work that you do. You just...
Until.
Well, I'm curious.
Who are these dickbags? Gareth's delightful.
Mm. You know what it is? Isn't it bizarre how also I seem to have had and despite being on television for, 14 years, despite being on radio every day for 3 years, three hours a day, 5 days a week, for 15 to 20 years, people get this idea in their head. And the ones who like you and who stick around and who listen, that's cool. I mean, I just got a message from a dude who's in, where is he? Somewhere in, let me just read this quickly. It's amazing to me when people, like they contact you now. Here, he's in Bangkok for the past 4 years. He's listened to the show every day. It says, you're my source of current affairs. The casual manner in which the show is presented is great. I'm waiting for my new pair of unwired earphones to arrive in January. Peace and love, peace and love. So, I mean, you know, people from all over the world would do this. But then there's that little coterie of people who decided at some point, like I said something, and then they got upset.
Well, the Israel thing is the one that gets...
And that was the last one. It was the last time they ever talk. They're not interested in me anymore. And it's weird with you. Like, you and I have been friends for a long time. I didn't really want to see that many people in New York, but you're one of the people I wanted to see because I knew you were there and, you know, figure out what you were doing and kind of have a catch up and all the rest. And then you post this picture innocently.
Yes. Like,
here's another South African in New York. It's a reasonably good reason to put a picture up.
You know, for me, this is going to sound so stupid and weird. I have times after I spoke to you, I called Jason. Okay, Jason Goliath is a friend of mine. And I said to him, I love what he's doing. He's doing so much. Gareth's doing so much. Have I picked to be too outspoken online? I asked, and then I said to him, no, I can only be myself. Yeah. Like, I can only be who I am.
Imagine being one of those people who's trying to be popular. I mean, that has got to be the most
tiring.
But it also has to just devastate your personality on a daily basis. Because what you're doing is you're guessing at what people are going to positively respond to instead of being you.
But being me comes at a price and being you comes at a price.
You get into trouble all the time.
I could tell you, I have friends who says to me, they message me and go, we're talking about you in a board meeting right now.
Oh, God.
They want to put you in a campaign, but we've looked through your social media and we can't have you in a campaign.
Then that campaign is not for me.
No, then it isn't. But I'm just saying, there is a price.
You tell them to go straight to Maps Maponyane?
It's funny. Sometimes I say, I'm not Cat. I'm not Cat from Express. Like, I'm the wrong guy. I'm like, sometimes I go, I go into board meetings and Maps and I are very close. Yeah. But I go into sometimes, if I do MC an event, I'll go, I'm not Maps. I'm not Katlego. If you're looking for Katlego, I'm not the guy.
Yeah, sure.
But if you want, for me, I can be there, keep the energy up. But if you want someone who's going to give you word for word, I'm not the guy for this gig. And if you want to cancel me now.
Mm.
And I tell them straight at the briefing. You know what I mean? They know exactly what they're getting. And a lot of, I get repeats.
But you have this ability, which very few people have. And it's something I seldom see in the world. This is the source of real power, is the ability to say no. A lot of people struggle with that because they'll take whatever they can get. Mm. They'll grab at whatever freebie comes their way. If someone offers them 50 rand, they will do. They'll fuck them up the ass for 50 rand because they're so desperate for some money, or they're so desperate for some work. Listen, there are people like that.
Everybody has a price.
Am I right? In the entertainment industry, there are people who will do anything just to stay relevant, just to stay in the game. You don't. You say no. And that's hard. People don't know how hard that is because you sometimes walk away from a project. It's like I hear these A-list movie stars in America And you hear them telling their story 10 years later of the role they turned down.
Mm.
And that role ended up being, you know, a monstrous role, a huge success story for someone else. Mm. You've got to sometimes look back. I mean, even you. Look back sometimes and go, ah, I should have just said yes to that.
I'm pretty content with living in Cape Town and doing what I'm doing and creating the content I'm creating and doing the films I'm doing. I travel more than the average human being.
So Siv tells me in Atlanta, because he was only there for a couple of hours, but they have the best strip clubs in all of America.
I was there for 8 days.
That's why they call it Hotlanta.
You would never believe. You would never believe this stuff I've seen.
What did you see?
The most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my life.
Really?
Because last week,
is that because Miami's just a little bit too hot, so they come inland a bit?
No, they're known for strip clubs.
Because last week Dumi Moraika was here and she actually gave us a revelation I've never heard or thought about ever.
Yeah.
She said one of the best strippers she had ever met had a kichi kichi yaya that smelled like pineapple.
Mm. Oh, wow. Yeah, it got a lot of reaction online as well. Smell the pineapple.
Would that be from a spray or just a dietary choice? Right.
But the biggest problem I had is that when I threw dollars at them, I kept on going, oh, 15 rand. Shit. 15 rand. Shit. 15. Hi. Hi. Okay, can
wasn't
I give an example?
Sexy.
Okay, but before, I would love us to talk about Alex's project, but
don't worry, Alex will get his plugs. What we're here for.
One thing that, do you know how, crazy the strip clubs, I was shooting a film in Atlanta, how crazy the strip clubs are? When the strip club closes, I asked the bouncer, how many strip clubs are in there? He said 95. There were 95 strippers, and they were all, I'm going to use a number, yeah, there were like 8 nines and tens.
So they all get work. There's enough work for all the strippers.
And they swap. They all share money. They share money. Like,
that's amazing.
Kind of, and lastly,
it's like the Ubuntu of strippers.
Yeah. And lastly, what I didn't know is that
heart, huh?
When it closes, there's no man allowed anywhere close to the strip club. And I asked them why. So I came back and the guy was like, freeze!
Oh shit, a black man in Atlanta.
No,
No.
You're not allowed. Men have to vacate the area because men follow the woman home.
Oh.
They become that obsessed.
That's the great thing about first world professionalism. It's everywhere. Geez.
But hang on. I'm still curious. So there are up to 80, 90 strippers who work in this one joint.
95 the night we went.
And they get work. Wow. They all get work.
How big is this place?
It is not big. No, it's not that big. You'll get the shock of your life. It's literally as big as this room. And
so there's like a hot rotation. Like you won't see the same person.
You never. It's $20. You pay $20. I went with South African actress Linda.
Mm-hmm.
We were both there, and we went in there. And I've never in my life seen like you hear. You just hear this.
They got lots of.
And I think people are clapping. No, it sounds like one of those black churches. No, it's the asses going.
Shit, the snapping.
Wow.
Even the white women that are there.
Because I was going to ask you this, the Hispanic women.
I am
there?
Man enough to tell you that I went to as many strip clubs. I went to 4 or 5 of them.
Isn't that great?
There's even ones that for
sounds like a cultural endeavor at this stage.
There's even ones that are for retired strippers. Retired strippers.
Senior tour.
Retired. Nice. Ask him. Ask him. He told me about it as well.
Senior tour.
Retired strippers. And then you told me that there was a girl who, when you got to New York, she sent you
Atlanta.
Was this in Atlanta?
Atlanta.
There's a girl in Atlanta who sent Siv immediately upon, like, he swiped right
to left. No, there's no right. There's no right. I met her.
Was this on WhatsApp?
No, I met her on an Uber app.
Sharing app.
So they're sharing app. You meet the crazy.
And she was sending him beaver shots within 2 seconds.
Yes. I met her there and she was like, oh, it's date night. So I go, Data, where's your boyfriend? Oh, he's gone. Then she was like, hey, can we keep in touch? So I was like, oh, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
She said, she goes, hey, I'm going to send you nudes, but it's hairy as hell.
Yeah.
Sideburns.
Yeah, she had sideburns. Pussy sideburns.
I sold Gareth. Sideburns, upper navel.
Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. We're standing on Broadway.
Broadway, in the middle
and
of
it. And Siv whips out his phone. He's like, look at this hairy beaver right here.
Wow. I'll show it now if you want.
You still got it?
You've got to love that sort of confidence.
Give it a pass. Thank you very much.
Alex,
this is like an ad for Uber.
I know. Shocking. No, a terrible
ad for
Uber.
That's one thing. If you've never been to the States, they have something called Uber Pool.
Uh-huh.
I met people in Atlanta, the friendliest people I've ever come across. Met them, we've chilled, kept in touch. Pick up woman on Uber, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. Very exciting. All right, listen, we've got to get to the five things you need to know. We'll talk about some other stuff in a moment or two. But first of all, big news this morning. Malusi Gigaba has faced a difficult few weeks with pressure mounting from opposition parties on him to resign. And he did it yesterday afternoon around like 3 o'clock. He sent the president a letter and said, I'm out. He resigned. Now, Siv was posting some pretty horrendous stuff about Malusi Gigaba. You were having fun at his expense when his dick pic came out.
I think
his video.
Were you like replicating the video?
No. The thing is,
Siv was posting all this funny shit.
No, the thing
about
is about him is that I think him taking out his cock is the least of our concerns. Mm-hmm.
Completely.
He sold out our country. He's a thief. Yep. He's a liar, and he's an absolute. He's just got no honor.
He's a proven
honor
liar
at all. And for me, this whole dick thing tried to distract us, and I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to be distracted. He is an absolute flipping monster. And the thing is, for me, I'm going to say this online, and I'm going to get in trouble for this. Being against black wrong is not being anti-black.
Yeah.
Sick and tired of this bullshit. And I'm saying it online. You can cut it, black Twitter. You can cut it and paste it no matter. Being anti-black wrong is not anti-black. I'm sick and tired of this shit. He's a flipping corrupt son
he's
of a bitch. And
he's black
a flipping
people, but he's bad
terrible,
for everyone.
Flipping corrupt bastard.
All right, just calm down. This is the news.
See, now, what I was going to say,
but it's true.
What I was going to say in very moderate tone is that the dick pic is not why he resigned, but Siv kind of just covered that. He's a liar.
We don't need to comment.
Yeah.
That story we've dealt with. Siv and Gessie, everybody. Whoa, Jesus. I need to take a breath.
Nice. Slap
idiot. All right, second thing that you need to know this morning, since we're going through the list, Facebook has shut down more accounts that are aimed at political meddling, both in the United States and everywhere else. On Tuesday, they announced that they had shut down more accounts aimed at influencing the U.S. midterm election and that they're exploring a possible link to Russia. As you know, there have been stories about how the 2016 presidential election was very much affected by what was going on with Russian bots and Facebook and all kinds of algorithm manipulating software that made people receive a bunch of messages that might have got them voting in a different direction, which to me is very strange because if you get your voting information from Facebook, your biggest problem isn't Facebook.
Yeah.
I think. But anyway, they've decided they're going to find these fake accounts. They're going to remove them. Some of them were removed for coordinated inauthentic behavior. And apparently the Instagram service has also been targeted for this. So if you've noticed you lost a couple of followers or friends, that's probably what happened.
I lost a whole bunch of Twitter followers yesterday.
Yeah, they cleaned up there as well.
So they do this quite often then.
Yeah. Have you checked yours, Siv?
Why am I attracting bots?
I lose and gain follows. I lose and gain exactly the same speed. So that's why I'm always stuck on 55,000.
That's nothing to be embarrassed. How are you doing, Alex, on social media?
I'm not very good at Twitter.
Well, you should just post stuff with Siv in it.
Yeah, well, he records like our entire life together on Instagram.
he does. So it's bound to have some spillover effect. Yeah. And so all we're really, all we want is the fundraising. We're not that interested in being famous.
Yeah.
No. All right, Jerusalem, they found a 1922 letter from Albert Einstein where he confided his fears about the rise of anti-Semitism in Germany. Remember, 1922, that was a full 18 years before Hitler's rise. More than a decade before the Nazis took power, it sold at an Israeli auction for $32,000. He said the following. This is Einstein back in 1922. Here are brewing economically and politically dark times, so I'm happy to be able to get away from everything. He was 43 years old at the time. He wrote to his sister after leaving Berlin for a location that goes unmentioned in the letter. He went on to win the Nobel Prize and 3 months later had departed the German capital after far-rightists assassinated Foreign Minister Walter Rathenau, a friend and fellow Jew, prompting police to warn him that he could be next. How's that? I mean, that letter's worth that money and everything. First of all, it's from Einstein. Who wouldn't want a piece of Einstein memorabilia around? And then for him to talk about something that's still so relevant today. Pretty amazing.
Did you ever see the letters that they bought, India bought from Gandhi? Mm-mm. With that love relationship he had between a gay wrestler?
With Gandhi and a gay wrestler?
Google that.
Really?
Things that people don't talk about.
Mm. Gandhi?
Gandhi used to have an infatuation with his wrestler.
Oh, wow.
Man wrestler.
And he used to write to them?
Yeah, they write to them. They really, just Google it. See.
Gandhi, gay wrestler.
Look that up, Ben.
And they went on display.
They went on display and then the Indian government bought it or something.
What, to try and quash it, to hide it away?
Oh, look at the one when Gandhi says, uses the word kafir, left, right and center.
Yeah, he did.
People forget about that, about Gandhi. Or with Mother Teresa as well. Huh? Mother Teresa was a snob and a bitch.
Yeah, she was. No, it's Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa!
I'm totally with you. Christopher Hitchens wrote a brilliant book about Mother Teresa, outlining exactly what kind of a miserable witch she was.
Yeah.
How she liked keeping people in poverty.
Sure.
And she thought suffering was good. And she didn't want to cure people and help the sick. She wanted to help them speed themselves along to an early death so they can be with Jesus. No, she was twisted.
Yeah, and then Princess Di glamorized her a bit too much.
Oh, well. You know.
Okay, don't.
One of Princess Di's many butlers.
Princess Di? If you're
all
listening,
of Sia's heroes.
If you are listening.
Gandhi, Princess Di, Mother Teresa.
I'm not saying Gandhi's relationship, gay infatuation was anything wrong.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. But in India, there's a lot of conservatism and people would be very, very angry about that because Gandhi's a hero. Yeah. Right?
Is that part of why they bought the letters?
Let me put it this way. For Indians to hear this about Gandhi and his secret infatuation, as Siv puts it, I don't know anything about that story, but it would be like us hearing about Nelson Mandela having a gay infatuation with a young white dude. I mean, it would be that big a controversy.
Yeah, or be like Gary Player having a gay black lover during apartheid.
Imagine.
Oh. Gary Player had some things he said pro-apartheid. Let's not forget that.
Well, we'll
forget that too.
Yes. We've covered that.
I'm just saying.
We don't shy away from
I've gotten in trouble for that so much. people always attack me. They're like, Cameron, that one was a part of racism. That one. They're like, what? We don't care how well you play. You are pro-apartheid. Fatsaki.
Well, just getting to the original point about Gandhi here before we get too emotional.
Is your dad?
No.
Okay.
So according to a biography by Joseph Lilienfeld, the love of Mahatma Gandhi's life was a German-Jewish bodybuilder named Hermann Kaulbach.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we are.
There's an actual book about it.
We learn new things. Thank you. Alex, do you want to tell us about any wrestlers in the world that we don't know about?
No, bodybuilder.
I'm curious if that came up at the rugby in New York. Or if you just had that tucked away.
Guys in the rugby team tell you about this? Yeah.
You know, guys, something? The most amazing thing about when you play for a gay rugby team is that no one talks about being gay.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right,
it's the norm in that situation.
There's still some more news.
Sorry.
It was Prince Charles's, today is his birthday. He's 70 years old and...
Was he given the throne as a gift?
No, he's still waiting.
That will never happen.
He's on the line at the moment. Do you want to talk to him? He's been waiting because we thought we'd speak to him on his birthday. Do you want to speak to Prince Charles?
Oh. Yeah, it's been a while.
All right, let's go.
Good morning, how are you?
Your Highness?
Royal Highness.
Happy birthday.
Very good.
Are you feeling young and virile still?
I'm 70 years old. I've been waiting since I turned 21 to inherit the throne. My mother seems interminable.
Oh, gosh.
Probably going to live 1,000 years. Yeah. More chance of remarrying after Camilla inheriting the throne. It's rather disappointing when your whole life you've been groomed to do something and you never get to do it. Imagine if your friend in the studio there, that Sivan Gesse chap, imagine if he'd trained to play gay rugby and never got to play. Rather disappointment, don't you think?
Speaking of grooming, how does Camilla feel about your position on the throne?
You know, she's delighted. We're busy determining what precisely the title would be for her, and we're thinking of Queen Con's horse.
Oh.
I mean, consort. Sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We're not very perturbed about precisely how it's pronounced, but it's more about what we call her in the corridors. We can't keep calling her stable girl, can we?
No, I don't think that
anyway,
would be...
Anyway, did you see I have another grandson or granddaughter on the way?
Yes.
Harry and Meghan are finally going to pop out the first ever royal coloured child. I'm terrifically excited.
We're all excited for you.
Yes, it's going to be marvellous. We've finally been multicultural, which I'm also hoping he'll convert to Islam.
Oh.
Now that would be quite something, wouldn't it? I'm sorry, my cell phone just went off in the background.
Oh.
I have, you want to hear my ringtone? My ringtone goes like this. Anyway, we're going to call him Salim. Salim Khan Osman Mountbatten Windsor.
Any plans for the next of the couple of days for your birthday?
Oh, hopefully. I've got to wait in the wings in case something terrible happens to Mummy. Don't want to travel too far away in case something goes on, you know? Like if she was accidentally to trip into the road and because, be crushed by a bus.
Because that would be awful.
Of course
you wouldn't want that
happening. Especially
happen.
If it happened right outside of a very busy street upon which she has to go and cut a ribbon tomorrow at 10 a.m., for example. You know.
Yes.
But we'll keep an eye.
No particulars.
Anyway, I am turning 70. I don't look a day over 85. So thank you for talking to me this morning. It's marvelous to spend some time with you.
Have an amazing birthday.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We've released some official photographs, blah, 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 blah.
All right, well, there we go. Thanks, Your Royal Highness. There
actually
we go, Prince
look
Charles.
All happy together.
Of course that's they. Okay. Yeah, there's the official photograph. They're all wearing blue and white.
But the Queen isn't there? Isn't that
no, no, that's, this is Charles and his family, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the Queen is back, Philip's going, ah, oh, those peasants.
I would love to get in there.
You'd like to get into that royal family?
Just to mess up the picture.
Do you know what?
Just.
Siv, there's a child coming who's going to give them plenty of new audience.
Have you ever heard of that when in a long line of interracial relationships there's like a what's it called when the gene comes back hot?
Oh yeah, you're right. Like a throwback.
And gingers. The kid comes out.
Imagine
black with the curliest head and the biggest lips and the biggest ears ever. Come out hard, going
well, with Charles's ears. They've already got big ears.
No, but you don't need it.
And ginger hair.
Yes.
And ginger hair. That'll be a really good mix.
Three generations time, they'll think this Megan girl is out of the picture.
Oh, it's gonna happen.
But then,
boom. But you know what? I do think that I've looked at this picture that Sia has just told us about, and you can find it online in various places. Those two daughters-in-law that he's got are actually real pearlers. I mean, I know people are rude about Kate and about Meghan, but my God, they're just such lovely-looking girls. Mm-hmm. They really are, and I think that they'll inject some seriously decent new genes into that royal family, and they need them.
Yeah, they need
Trust
them.
Trust me.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the way they were going, those kids were going to grow up drooling.
Yeah.
At least now.
Wow. Oh. Alex, that was a disabled joke, I thought.
Yeah. No, that was just a pro breeding
joke. Disabled joke? Go ahead. Defend yourself.
No, what I was saying is that there's a hint of inbreeding there.
I'm joking.
What are you trying to say?
All right, one last story. We've got the final season of Game of Thrones. I'm very excited about this. They've said
next year.
They've finally said that it's going to be released in April. Now, I hate that they're doing this because. Rather don't tell me than make me wait until goddamned April. It's November. So December, January, February, March. I got 4.5 months to still wait for
and
this
you've got about
10
show. Shows you still haven't started watching that everyone else has started watching.
I'm very excited
you've
about
You've got to help yourself.
You watch Game of Thrones?
Yep. Yes. Ooh, yeah,
you'll
this.
Have to just marathon from episode
that's
one
what I'll
all
do.
The way to...
That's a good idea.
Also
see?
That.
Full of solution.
Have you watched Breaking Bad?
No, he hasn't, sir.
Wow.
He hasn't. And here he is bitching about he has to wait.
Have you watched The Wire?
Mm-mm.
Wow. Have you watched one more thing? You know the guy who plays The Thing? Who's The Thing in all those Bang Bang movies?
In the Marvel movies?
Marvel movies. Yeah. He has this one LAPD the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievable.
Really?
All old stuff. It's called League... you just see him. That guy there.
Siv, get in front of the microphone. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, there he is.
The Thing?
He plays The Thing. What's his name? You see his TV series he's
Gotham?
In.
Gotham?
That guy. Check the TV series, an old one.
The Shield.
The Shield.
There we go.
Oh, I've heard
this
the
is very
best
good too. Right.
TV you ever this. See.
Oh, all right.
Hey,
those three things I just said.
Jesus.
The Wire.
You shot out of a cannon this morning.
Very passionate
very
about The Wire, The
Alex,
Shield.
Do you sometimes get a little nervous for your safety around Siv?
Yeah, I've got to rely on him to get back down the stairs. So I'm trying to come up with a backup plan here.
Yeah, Alex, you can't rely on me today. Sorry.
Well, we're very excited. This morning we've got Siv and Gessie hanging with us. We've got Alex. Unfortunately, one of his wheelchairs is still stuck in Amsterdam, but the other one is here, and he's managed to bring that with him. And he is hanging with us. And Sia's got
some... Do you always travel with two?
Yeah, I use this chair when I travel, and I'm expecting a lot of stairs.
But you've got one of those motorized ones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a tank. It's like 300 pounds. I don't know how many kilos that
three is. Guys to put, took us three guys to put in three steps up. Took three of us.
Wow.
And one step at a time.
Three guys like you?
Yes, one step at a time. Boop.
See, I thought there was only one guy like you.
No.
That's so loving and sweet. Oh, come on. Don't be like that. You're homophobe.
I'm joking.
Let's move on.
I'm joking. All right. If any of our rugby friends are listening, I'm joking.
Please. I don't think you have bad credentials. I don't think you have to worry about something you said. You know what? I wish we could start judging people by what they do instead of what they say or what we think they think, and maybe we'd be able to move on. All right, let's get into it. Ben's got some sport for us. By the way, if you do care, Bitcoin trading at $6,351, Ethereum at $207. Ben, let's have a little bit. Oh, by the way, while we're talking about of cryptocurrencies, on this week's episode of D Crypto, which is brought to you by Luno, when the Bitcoin price hit an all-time high, a whole lot of people thought it was a great way to make some easy money. Mm-hmm. And you remember this time last year, there were stories of people who'd made a fortune overnight.
Yeah, Christmas bonuses were going on there.
Yeah.
Houses are being remortgaged.
There were guys with blessees around the clock. Social media was full of clickbait, get-rich-quick schemes, all that stuff. Well, I spoke to a guy called Mpo Dagada, who actually did become a Bitcoin millionaire at the age of 21. His timing was immaculate. It's coming up at 8 a.m. today. Get all the episodes on cliffcentral.com. And if you have any questions, this is cool. We're going to do a special episode of Decrypto. If you have any questions about cryptocurrency for the experts to tackle, then send them to us, please. Contact at cliffcentral.com. Just put the subject Decrypto and listen out for the answers in that final episode. It's all powered by Luno, Africa's first cryptocurrency platform. That's contact at cliffcentral.com with your questions about cryptocurrency. Ben, over to you. What's in the sport?
All right. Fafterklerk not available for the box again. Real Madrid are sticking with the interim coach, and Kevin Anderson is crushing it in the ATP final series.
All right,
so the Box are taking on the Scots over the weekend, and a few years back you'd go, okay, we'll ring the changes and give everyone a go. But no, the Scots are good nowadays. They know what they're doing. They've got players all over the place, and of course they're playing in Scotland, so they know how to play in very, very cold weather. It's going to be one of the nicer days in Scottish weather this weekend.
Impossible.
And when I say nicer days, I mean it's not going to be falling down with sleet. So it might be dry conditions, but the big story here is that Fafterklerk will not be available. His team, the Sale Sharks, these guys sound like absolute just weirdos. So we're in international break.
It took you and Siv about 2 seconds of seeing each other to start talking about sports. So feel free to chime in here, Ngesi.
Yeah, that's what guys do. So Fafterklerk's team is like, well, you can't play any of the autumn internationals because you've been away the whole year. Then suddenly he's available for the French series and then the whole series. And they're saying, no, yes, you got to come back. I just think this guy should be rested. He's played so much rugby. We got to talk about managing our players because for some reason we forget this. And it's like, oh shit, he's out with like an injury for 6 months. Oh, that's unfortunate. No. All of these guys are running. I mean, like you've seen some substitutions throughout the year for the box. These guys have heart rate monitors. They've got all these little pads on. You can see when these players are hitting the red.
Right.
This is during the game. Pretty sure you can say that during the season too. Fafterklerk has played so much rugby, we need to see who the other scrum offs are. Ambrose Papier, who is the new Rudy Page. That guy knows what the bench is.
Breaks my heart.
But does he know what standing in the anthem about to play rugby is about? Because he stands there. So you've always got to think that if Fafterklerk was to break down, or the Sale Sharks basically put him in like chains and say, no, you can't go anywhere because we pay you the pounds. Who's our next guy?
Yeah.
That's Ifan Fonsell didn't do too badly against England, I thought. At least he got a chance to show what he's capable of. You play a couple of games, suddenly you believe, hang on, I'm an international rugby player. I'm not just some stopgap 10-minute player at the end of a match who, well, let's just see how it goes. We've got to give these guys a better mindset of where they are in a team, and this is a chance. So let's not bemoan the fact that Faf can't play. He was cuck last weekend anyway. Give that guy a chance to go and just bed into his team. Leave him alone. We've got to test the depth. We've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, and the Sale Sharks maybe are giving us the chance to do that. The team will be announced on Thursday, so I'll get more into that for you on Friday. But dry conditions, the Box should win this one. They were a bit average against the French, a little bit too blunt. But again, this is a chance for them to tack it up another level. Something that Siv and I were talking about is the very obvious fact that Sirkulis played pretty much the whole season. And it's one thing when you play rugby all the time. Add to that you're a loose forward. Add to that you're a captain.
A black captain. It's very difficult.
That too. There's a lot of emotional strain.
I saw you getting upset about something that someone said about Siya Kolisi.
I'm very defensive about Siya Kolisi. One thing, first of all, you must judge Siya on his natural game. Do not try to convert him into a fetcher. He's not a fetcher. He's a ball carrier.
Yep.
He rucks over. Do not judge him on that. Another thing, I'm sick and tired of people telling us that Siya Kolisi is not the best at his position. Even if he wasn't. Bino was not the best at his position. One of the greatest captains of all times.
Damn right, John Smith.
Strauss was not the best. John Smith didn't finish a single game. And he was permitted to be captain and rated one of the best captains of all times. What's different about all these three players compared to Siya? I'm not going to say it. Please carry on.
It's a good point, Siv. It's a good point. I think you joined enough dots there. By momentum, you'll stumble on the answer.
I'll tell you what, if you thought this morning was going to be plain sailing and we were going to have nice chats with Alex and Siv might come in with one or two comments, well, you've got controversy on wheels in a black fucking dress this morning.
Yeah. But another thing about when you're pushing the players to the edge is that you think people go, oh, but Kolisi's not a dynamic enough captain. He's not thinking on his feet. The guy, he's jaded. I mean, give the guy a chance. Let him sit out Scotland, okay? Because this is a big game. And then we can finish the year off on a high when they play against those choir boys. Try mix up a little bit. Let's see some depth. And let's not run these guys to the ground and then go, oh, well, you know, he's not injured forever. Right. We've got to have a much bigger kind of look on this thing. So that's rugby. And there's not much more about rugby other than the fact that the Japan team, who's currently touring the Northern Hemisphere as well, guess how much they're getting paid per rugby match, Gareth?
Tell us.
250 rand.
That's all?
That's all they get paid. So when they square up against...
That's less than Siv and his gay team in New York.
Exactly.
Hey.
So that's less than what a Morgott team.
So when... less than a Morgott. So...
yeah, Morgott a TV.
So when these guys square up against England this weekend and Eddie Jones is like, we are going to take out all our frustrations on the Japanese. These guys are squaring up for 250 rand. This is rand.
Wait, that needs context, though. That needs context.
I'll give it to you in a second.
Okay, cool.
the English players, on the other hand, earn 470,000 rand a cap. Every time they play for England, they get 470,000 rand. But the Japanese team... the Japanese team are saying, well, our guys play for honor. It is all they want to do is play at the highest level possible. And you know, like Japan's still got ethics and that kind of stuff. So the players aren't even like up in arms about this. They're not exactly calling for unions and saying, oh, this is terrible, whatever, whatever, whatever. Wow. Jamie Joseph, who is their coach, he said, look, there's a very different kind of thing that happens with the amateur players here. A lot of the guys still are amateur. They're looking to play at the highest level. They'll love the opportunity to play against England. And yes, they get paid fuck all. That's not what he said, of course. But... It's different for these guys because it's about the honor and it's about representation. So even though the Japanese team will be hosting the World Cup next year, they're still giving their players bugger all. That's just a structure thing, you know. I just thought it'd be an interesting tidbit before we get into cricket because, Siya, it is almost the Mzansi Super League.
Oh, okay. Yay!
So, today is Wednesday. You now have the chance to watch Mzansi Super League action on Friday.
Oh, they invited me.
Well, the Cape Town Blitz are taking on the Tshwane Spartans at PPC Newlands Cape Town. Siv, and that will take place at 7 o'clock. At the same time, on Saturday, the Jersey Stars will be taking on the Nelson Mandela Bay Giants at the Bidvest Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, Alex, yes, a daytime game, because I know you like it when the sun's out.
Hooray.
The Durban Heat will be taking on the Cape Town Blitz at Kingsmead at 11 o'clock. And on the same day, the Paul Rocks, Gareth, your team, will be debuting against the Tshwane Spartans at the Eurolux Borland Park Stadium in Paul. Also, a daytime game. Well, starting the daytime.
I'll have to fly in for that.
So those are your four matches straight up in your face. Ticketpro.co.za. You get your tickets there. And as they've been saying, guys, this is what we've got. This is all we've got T20-wise. Stop saying, oh, it's not going to be like the Big Bash or the IPL. AB de Bloody Villiers is playing. You know what? You know what he did yesterday? He scored 93 of 31 balls. This guy is firing. There's lightning coming out of his orifice. He is ready to go. And he'll be leading the Tshwane Spartans, which is Sia's team.
Yes.
Sia is
so behind the boys.
Sia is a long-standing Tshwane Spartan fan. I say that because it's his fandom has been saying for as long as the team. Granted, it's two
Sounds
weeks.
About right.
But don't take that away from Sia. He's a diehard stalwart of the Spartans.
Stalwart.
Sia, what sport did you play growing up?
This is a long conversation.
Chess.
We have no time for this.
Check my credentials. I played for the rugby F team. Thanks.
Rugby fuck up team.
A, B, C, D, E.
That's
F.
A 16. Yes, but I was a lock. I did my
lock.
I got up underneath the.
Yeah. Please don't ever use that hand gesture next to me ever again.
That's what I did in the scrum. Anyway, Ben, where were you?
Yeah, so Abzanzi Super League, guys, you've got to support it, and it's going to be a jaw. And all the best Proteus players are playing. So if you haven't seen these guys in a while, which, let's be honest, it has been a while since the Aussie series when they were laughing at those Aussies with the sandpaper, they've been on the road all year. So you get to see all your stars, just like the ones who then beat the Aussies again over in Australia land recently. How cool, huh? How cool. See, I've motivated you. Now you're going to go get tickets. For as little as 25 rand.
Hey, talking about cricket, I messaged Faf and I said, Faf, I said to him, oh man, I love beating Australia. And so he replies, so good, hey. They're my favorite team to beat.
Damn right.
Yes.
We take special pleasure in that one.
Even now, when they are just a bit of a joke, it's still always good to beat them. Santiago Solari. That isn't a fragrance. That is Real Madrid's interim coach. Has now been made the permanent coach until 2021. Obviously, Real Madrid basically looked around and thought, well, fuck, we've got to get someone big. We've got to get someone huge. Like, you know, will Zidane come back? Zidane's like, no, I'm on my jet ski. Will anybody quit their job? No. Will we get Arsene Wenger? Don't want Arsene Wenger. So Solari was like, well, guys, look, I've taken the over from the team. We've somehow steadied the ship. We're not losing like we were. We're not the laughing stock like we were a few weeks ago. So give me a go. Remember the coach that was thrown away prior to this? I mean, talk about his life turning to the toilet, right? He was about to take Spain to the World Cup. Real Madrid gave him the dream job of Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, this is so great. I'm taking an informed Spanish team to the World Cup, and when I'm done there, I'm Real Madrid's coach. Real Madrid was like, cool, here's the thing. Spain were like, no, you're not no longer the Spanish coach. So he missed the World Cup.
Yeah.
He then goes to Real Madrid, has a disastrous start, gets thrown out of his ass there. So, you think your life's bad? That guy. I mean, we've already forgotten his name. I can't tell you what his name is. We've already forgotten. He'll go into the annals of history as just that guy who was kind of Spain, Real Madridish kind of thing. Tennis, though.
Footnote.
This is the big thing. Kevin Anderson is killing it. He's absolutely killing it at the Nitto ATP Finals in London. He beat Nishikori 6-love, 6-1. And Nishikori beat Federer in the first game out. Jeez. Federer did actually come back. He beat Dominic Thiem yesterday. And on Monday, Djokovic, who's world number one, he beat Isner, and Zverev beat Cilic. So, Kevin Anderson's next game, which will be on Thursday, he takes on Roger Federer, who everyone always makes a big point about saying his mother's South African. Yeah, no one cares about that. Kevin Anderson, though, 2 wins out of 2. Federer is his third game. And this is big money for this guy. Kev, the economy's dying. Come back for a big holiday or something. Just try plug a little bit of that back in here, please. And thank you. There's international friendlies in the go in Europe, which is just kills football, kills the vibe. So there's nothing really to talk about in football. I'll get to the actual weekend fixtures.
Yeah, well, Carl says here, in you know, kind of in keeping with what you were just talking about, hey, Ben, did you see Kevin Anderson give $100 for each ace to the California firefighters? Nice. Equated to $1,000. Big deal. Surely he could do better. Carl.
Well, Carl, he's a big, strong, tall man. He's going to send down quite a few aces. So
yeah, but $1,000. I think he's saying that it was
bullshit. I know what he's saying, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, and what are you doing, Carl?
It's better than nothing. I'll tell you what is nothing is this match between Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. Let me finish off with the story before your midweek roundup. There's all this hype around these two getting together, and Rory McIlroy, you got to love this dude. Sure, he comes across as a bit simple from time to time, and sure, he's not living up to his potential as a golfer, but this guy loves a bit of straight talk, and when asked yesterday at the DP World Final for the European Tour, he said, you know, what do you feel about this Tiger Woods-Phil Mickelson match? Of course, this is this pay-per-view match. The winner gets 9 million rand, of which fuck all will go to the firefighters, I'll tell you that much. These two are going to pocket the money, and they're just going to carry on with their lives. So McIlroy said, well, if... you know, he says, look, geez, if this had happened 15 years ago, it would have been great. But I think nowadays, missed the mark.
Jeez, that's nice.
That's fantastic. I totally agree with him too. Especially after those two accounted for 0 points at the Ryder Cup in Paris. Now we've got Mickelson, who's still got them bitch tits. I mean, he went through a stage where he got in the gym a bit, but he still looks like everyone's kind of a weird uncle. And there's Tiger. Tiger's great. I mean, he's fantastic. What a comeback. He really was incredible. But to put him on Phil's level now, I think this game is going to be overly exciting. The Americans, of course, are drumming it up as the biggest thing ever to try and maybe kind of gloss over the fact that they were so dicked in the Ryder Cup. But yeah. November 23rd, it's a pay-per-view thing. I think about $25 will get you that game onto your screen. But golf isn't about this anymore. Exhibition matches are a long time ago. There's so much, because think, when they hit off the tee, there's now 3 minutes until they hit again. You know how much shit talk you're going to try put in there? You know how many highlights of their careers you can try to put in there? It'll get boring. I think this game is 15 years too late, but at least they're trying different things in sport. I will say that much and nothing more. That is your sport for this Wednesday. More on Friday when I preview what's happening in the weekend.
All right, so I got an email here from Charmaine for you, Ben, all right? Do you want to hear about this? It starts with the headline of, I feel your pain, bad back, Ben.
All right,
okay. Literally.
Back to back.
Yeah. The Sunday before last, I went to the bathroom, and like every day, my ginger cat Dewey wanted some love and attention, and like always, I bent over to pick him up, and the pain was unbelievable. I fell to my knees in agony. Oh. I tried to use the bath as support to stand back up, but as soon as my back needed to carry the weight of my torso, I collapsed again like a sack of shit.
From surging pains, yeah.
My husband was watching a movie as loud as he always does, so even trying to shout his name was agony. He eventually heard me and had to carry me to the bedroom. I lay there, useless and crying, praying that time wasn't more damage and that the last time it happened would be the final one. Week and a half later, I'm still doing painkillers and walking like I have a stick up my backside. Mm. Needless to say, no medical aid, definitely no government hospitals, and no operations. Strong's my ? I feel you. Regards, Charmaine.
Charmaine, a new tremor just went through my lumbar region after listening to that.
How unfortunate.
I can wish you all the best. If you are in the greater Joburg area, I would suggest consulting Derek, my guy.
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal of Bachelor's Therapy. Mm. If nothing else, the guy's seen pain before, and he'll know how to take you and make you slightly better.
Thank you
very much. Just some lube and pound you.
All right, we've got... at least she has a cat in her life.
She has a cat.
To not judge her and how feeble she is.
Right. So we've got Said by Sia in a minute. We've also got Alex Stone here along with Siv and Gessie. And we're going to hear all about Alex's projects that he's here to do some fundraising for. He's about to start one of the new aspects of that. We'll talk to him about all of this and more. And take your calls 0861-555-189. Sia, what do you have for us today?
What were you doing when you were 12 years old?
Sport.
Never mind.
You weren't masturbating at 12. No, you weren't, Siv. Come on, 12?
Of course you was.
Were you?
Never mind, Siv and Gessie.
All day.
nothing was coming out, but I'll die. I have a masturbation story. I have to talk about it.
I walked straight into that
Maybe not the
one.
Best opening question.
Yeah, that's it. I should refine it a bit more. Maybe let me start with a quote from this 12-year-old. She says, "People should feel comfortable in their own skin and not take criticism negatively." This is 12-year-old Joburger Ayanda Bokaba, who is now, today, this Wednesday, actually flying to New York City to deliver more on this topic as she's been headhunted by TED Ed Club, which is a division of the TED conferences, to speak in front of a gathering of students and like-minded leaders in New York City around their taglines, Ideas Worth Sharing. So this morning on Said by Sia, just want to highlight Ayanda, who has been spotted at school just making massive changes within her schooling community.
What did she do?
Through her speeches and basically motivating her fellow pupils. She was submitted through the Think Ahead organization. This is an organization that works with schools and offers support through teaching and learning and inspiration. And Ayanda on her trip says, "With my talk, I want people to use the right type of criticism or change their approach of how they talk to others." She's definitely not oblivious to how people can be or what people say. And she says, "Rather, don't mind what people say, rather use their negativity for the better." She's been making quite a splash in her community, so it's absolutely amazing that now she's on her way to New York City for this. She says, "I sometimes feel bad when I'm criticized, but I know how to deal with it, and so it doesn't affect me too much anymore. If I am criticized, I try to change the concept from negative to positive. Look, if I thought like that at 12 years old, I think the world would be different."
Well,
but
let's ask Siv how he deals with the negative criticism.
Me? You know me, I'm a lion. Lions don't care what sheep think. I'm an eagle. When is the last time you saw an eagle flying with pigeons? That's my belief.
There we are.
Boom. There we go. So 12-year-old Ayanda Bokaba going to speak in New York City this week. I think it's absolutely awesome. And she's speaking about positivity in criticism. She's currently in grade 6. Hmm. Jeez. No pressure onto her, but what is she going to be doing when she's an adult?
I mean, if you start off at 12 like this, people have high expectations.
Yeah.
but she can keep it up.
Yeah, definitely want to be keeping tabs on this and to hear a bit of her speech that she delivers in America this week. And that's it by Sia for this morning.
Thank you very much, Sia. All right, we've got loads of good stuff coming up for you. In a short while, we will also be spending some time with Happy Makumalongidi and Darren Graham. They're both from Proudly South African, and we're going to find out all about how that's going, what's news there. So stick around for all of that. CliffCentral.com.